the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Will Hurd. He represents the 23rd Congressional District of Texas and is on Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, and is also a chairman of a subcommittee for information technology, I think a Homeland Security Committee. Have we got them all, or are there more?
Well, intelligence as well. You know, that's my background. I spent 9.5 years as an undercover officer in the CIA, and I was the dude in the back alleys collecting intelligence on threats to the homeland. And I also had to brief members of Congress. And so it's interesting being on that committee now, because that was my first exposure to Congress when I was in the CIA.
And it really gives you a unique opportunity because you know both sides of this equation.
Absolutely. And having real world experience with the biggest challenges of the day, you know, we're talking about North Korea. I dealt with that issue when I was in the CIA. Terrorism, obviously. When I was in, it was Al-Qaeda. Now it's ISIS. Al-Qaeda is still a threat. ISIS is still a threat. But these are all things that I've dealt with in most of my career.
When we talk about your district, it's you share the border with Mexico. It's, I can't remember, 500, 600 miles?
820 miles.
Almost 10,000 miles, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty vast. And 29 counties, two time zones. It takes 10.5 hours to drive from Cotula to San Elizario at 80 miles an hour, which is the speed limit in most of the district. My district staff found out recently that's not the speed limit in all of the districts. But it's a great place, a lot of agriculture, cybersecurity in San Antonio, but agriculture through the rest. And as you know, I was I went to Texas A&M University. I'm a proud Aggie, but I was more the M than the A. But being in this position, in this office, I've learned a lot more about agriculture. And one of the first issues I learned to deal with was fever tick. And because you stop fever tick the same way you stop terrorists. And so it was an issue, it was an ag issue I was able to get my head around when I first started running for Congress. And now it's great being in a position to get a lot of victories, and whether that's, you know, funding for foot and mouth disease and helping with cotton. I know you know cotton's a big deal, getting cotton back as Title I, it's important. But agriculture is important to us. I'm glad you're always talking about it.
Well, and you talked about fever tick, and you threw in foot and mouth disease. In the 2018 House version of the Farm Bill, there are set asides, if you will, for the foot and mouth disease. But it's important to note that agriculture is also tied back to the immigration and border security debate as well.
It absolutely is. And one of the things that we have to remember right now, we're at 3.8% unemployment. When we were in high school, your economist teacher would tell you that 5% unemployment was really good. That basically means everybody's employed, because you're always going to have 5% that is not employed. So to be at 3.8, it's amazing, which means it's really hard to find workers, whether you're in agriculture or quantum computing. And so immigration is an important piece of this, and making sure that we have a stable workforce is important. And, you know, in agriculture, the number of people that have seasonal workers is important. And there was an exemption that ran out recently where if you have someone returning to the United States to work in seasonal work, they didn't count towards these global caps. That's something that went away a few years ago, and that's something that many of us up here are trying to work with. The topic that most people are talking about right now is DACA. And these are, you know, 1 million-plus young men and women who have only known the United States of America as their home. They were brought here through no fault of their own. And 97% of this population are in school or working. 5% of them are entrepreneurs. That's more than twice the national average. And just in Texas, DACA recipients have a $7 billion impact on our state economy. That's billion with a B. And so this is a population of people that are important, and they're contributing to our culture, our economy, and we should be making sure there's a permanent legislative fix for them. And the one way we also need to make sure that we secure our border. And we secure our border in a way that we're not impacting private property rights. I believe that building a 30-foot-high concrete structure from sea to shining sea is the most expensive and least effective way to do border security. And also, I had to remind my friends up here in Washington, D.C., that in Texas, in the great state of Texas, we care about a little thing called private property rights. And nobody wants the federal government coming in and taking a half mile with the entire length of your land. Nobody is for that. And in some places where people are wanting to build a wall, Border Patrol's response time to threats is measured in hours to days. If your response time is measured in hours to days, guess what? A wall is not a physical barrier. But we should be using technology that exists. We have ranchers that are working on some of this stuff, using these tools right now, that are catching more bad guys, catching more drugs. And what we should be looking at when it comes to border security and securing our border is, are we decreasing the amount of drugs that are coming into our country? Are we decreasing the amount of illegal immigration? That should be our metric, not whether we use X number of drones or have this many miles of wall. Let's focus on those outcomes. And when it comes to drug trafficking, in the United States, the drug trafficking organizations in Mexico are making $66 billion. That's basically the market cap of the store Target. Right, and the drug cartels aren't having funding debates in Congress, right? And so they're well capitalized, and we need to be prepared to deal with them.
You're talking illegal trade, I think, at this point, but trade is another hot topic, especially when you share a border with one of the most important trading partners of the U.S. and Texas.
I have to remind people that since NAFTA was signed in my hometown of San Antonio 24 years ago, the U.S., the Mexican, the Canadian economy all increased by about 400%. And when you take Texas alone, Mexico is our number one trading partner. It's the number one destination for beef, vegetables, and cotton. I think about 80% of the beef that's exported out of Texas goes to Mexico. So that's an incredibly important market for us. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada, we build things together. And when you look at a product made in Canada, about 25% of the components come from the U.S. When a product is hecho in Mexico, made in Mexico, it's about 40%. And if you compare that to China, it's only 4%. So we make things together. And if you go to a place like San Antonio, where Toyota works, you know, Toyota does import. They create thousands of jobs in San Antonio. And so trade is important. In Texas, it's getting hot. And I know a lot of people want to have a cold beer, you know, on a hot day. And if you mess up trade, you know, the price of beer is going to be more expensive. Filling up your truck is going to be more expensive. And buying your kids' school clothes when they start back up in the fall is going to be more expensive. And this is why we have to get trade important. And if you're in West or South Texas, energy economy is important. And Mexico's need for natural gas is going to increase by a factor of 5. And guess where they're going to buy that natural gas from? West and South Texas. That's putting more people to work. And so all of this is connected to trade. And that's why we need to negotiate a good NAFTA 2.0. And we shouldn't get into a trade wars with our allies. We're lucky to have Mexico and Canada as our neighbors. And let's just ask Israel how they like if they would trade their neighbors for ours. And the answer there would be definitely be yes.
Final question for you. I know you've been working on quite a few bills. Homeland Security bill. What's happening on that?
We just got another bill that's passed the Senate. It's going to go to the president's desk for a signature. And basically, there are so many different kinds of information that's collected in order to keep us safe and secure, but it's not shared. We don't share that information across elements within the Department of Homeland Security. We're not sharing that information properly across all the elements of the federal government, nor with state and local officials. So this bill says, hey, we need to make sure that we're standardizing and ensuring that we get the right information to the right people. Because the way we keep terrorists off our shores is making sure that we have the right information in the right hands at the right time. And this bill goes a long way in helping to ensure that we do that.
It's always good to see you. Thanks for your work. Wish you the best as you head towards the final stretch of this session and get ready for the next.
I always appreciate talking with you, my friend.
Again, it's the Honorable Will Hurd representing the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. It's the Agribusiness Report.